McMurrick in the dummy half as they go to the left through Fairley. A lovely offload. They've found some space out here through Lindsay. Lindsay pins the ears back. The cover defence comes across. He beats one, beats two. Lindsay steps inside. And Lindsay will take it around underneath the post. Hong Kong draw first blood.
Hello and welcome to the last edition of League 852 for 2018. I'm your host Neville Metcalf. I'm joined to my left by Hong Kong international and captain Ringo Leung. To my right, I'm joined by the indomitable assistant coach Dim Sum Jones. And somewhere around the room chasing his child is Jack Nielsen, strength and conditioning coach. Jack?
Feliz Navidad.
So say that again.
Feliz Navidad.
What's that mean, Jack?
It means Merry Christmas.
In
Spanish.
Really? Ringo? You're an expert?
It's for that. It's for that.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah? Ringo, you've just moved to Happy Valley with your Spanish girlfriend.
I have.
How are you finding it?
Very good. We had a game of football this morning, didn't we, Nev? Stretch out the old legs.
We were talking about Laura and you've just changed it to football. This is a rugby podcast.
Pressure online.
We did play football and I enjoyed it. It was good.
I missed a massive one-on-one.
You missed an absolute sitter.
Absolutely shocking.
It's a good job you couldn't hear what the other team members were saying.
I'll stick to rugby, probably.
I don't know, mate. Last time you played, you made that forward pass when we could have won the game. Anyway, moving on. This is going to be a review of 2018. Who can believe we're nearly at the end of 2018? And what a bumper year we've had, Jack.
Where did it go? 16 podcasts, I believe. If my maths is correct.
Podcast 16.
How do we get to 16 podcasts?
Yeah. We had some people listening, I reckon.
I think the average stats is probably about 35 people. I think
35,000.
I think 32 of those are me listening to it.
32,000 listens. Quite a lot for you, then.
Re-listens.
Right, well, gents, welcome. Great to have you here once again. 2018, the biggest year yet for Hong Kong Rugby League. You know, we continued with the Nines. We had our second Super League season, which is our domestic competition. And within 13 months, we've played 6 international test matches.
Bloody hell.
And in addition to that, we've had a million things going on with tag. Right? It's been an absolutely bumper year. Lots to discuss. Let's start with the Nines. The 2019 Nines is already booked. 4th of May, Kings Park, once again. Ringo, you played last year. How was that? And how do you see us developing for next year?
Well, I reckon I probably I definitely missed the hardest team in the tournament, having Tonga come over. They certainly sort of upped the notch from the previous years in the Nines. I mean, without a doubt, they're incredible. But then the final with Pacific Toa going toe-to-toe with them and just losing out very narrowly, that was a really exciting Nines.
Yeah, I think it's good to see. Well, it was a great Nines tournament, but I think it's going to be even more exciting in 2019 because we already had Solomon Islands.
Not confirmed yet, but reached out.
They are interested, and I'm sure we can attract a few other teams from abroad, Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, and definitely keep increasing that standard and making it such a big international league event.
And that's definitely the goal. I mean, I think that final could have graced any final. It was a fantastic final, right?
Yeah, I think it's always a good way to kick off a start of the season, especially being live streamed. You have loads of people logging on and watching it. You see them all there commenting. It's a fantastic day. It really builds a platform each season. So that'll be fantastic. Looking to see...
Dimson, what do you think we can do better for 2019?
Better in terms of Nines or Super League?
Nines.
Nines? I mean, last year I thought was fantastic, really. I think it'd be great to if we got the number of teams to potentially have, I guess, maybe an international top pool and then a domestic pool where blokes could just easily put teams together with a couple of their mates and get on the paddock. You know, I think that would open up the domestic space a little bit more if the competition wasn't as competitive, but... In that same sense, it just depends who we get in terms of teams. But that'll develop further, I think. What date are we kicking off? It's 3rd of May, is it?
4th of May.
4th of May.
It's a Saturday, so we could all get out on the lash Saturday night, not have to worry about Sunday. Look, I mean, visiting teams when they come to Hong Kong, they want to go out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And we kind of missed that last year because I think it was on a Sunday, right?
Yeah. I took the day off.
Yeah, that's no surprise. and, you know, Saturday is just a much better day. And, you know, we're looking forward to it. The Diamond Chiefs have registered very interest again. They're just trying to raise the funds to come over.
How good are they? Yeah.
Well, I'm going to waive their entrance fee because for 3 years in a row, well, hopefully it'll be 3 years in a row, you know, for them to come over, it's just a fantastic effort, right? I haven't heard from Tonga yet, so I don't know if they will be back to defend their title or not. But hopefully, you know, in the Solomon Islands, we've got, you know, another strong island team who, you know, will show us how rugby league is played.
Definitely. They'll be there again. They're already building.
Yeah.
Again, this year, so they'll be there again.
Yeah, they're getting their kit produced pretty soon. They've been chasing for logos and things, so...
Awesome.
You know, they're getting ready for 2019. And that's really where we want to be, where teams are organising themselves, you know. Yeah. As the governing body, we probably do too much, but, you know, we are where we are, and it's still a fledgling sport.
There goes the hooter.
And there it is. Tonga gets up 12-6 over Pacific Tonga.
Super League. Now, I've got mixed views on the Super League, but I'm going to open it up to you guys. Jonesy, you're our resident rugby league expert.
Mm.
Thoughts?
We're having three teams this year. I think it's just keeping those teams competitive each week. I think last year it was tough having a game every week, especially for your rugby union boys that come off the back of a big season and then we're playing week in, week out. So I think it'd be a good idea to revert back to the previous year model where we played every second week. We had one game every week and teams were having a break every second week.
I can confirm we are moving back to playing one game a week.
Fantastic.
And some people teams may have to do back-to-back, but...
Yeah, so I think that'd be good. But we've got interest from a new team this year. We've got University, so CM, Satterfan and Kome from the international side. Yeah, they're heading that up. So I'm still unsure about Oriana Storm. So if not, we'll be looking to merge those teams potentially, strengthen the numbers there. But overall, mate, it just depends on who we get putting their hands up and what teams we get together.
So we've got potentially got a University team.
Yep.
We know we've got Pacific Toa.
Yep.
And then Ringo, you're going to join with Wan Chai Warriors, right? So Valley and Wan Chai Warriors.
Last year we needed to go to four teams because in the run-up to the World Cup, I mean, it was just something we had to do to try at least. In hindsight, probably spread the teams a little bit thin and we struggled on regular sort of players putting their hands up every week, week in, week out, as Jonesy said. But so this year I think makes sense to go back to three teams and to strengthen those teams and, you know, as Jonesy said, make it competitive, because the last thing you want is to be running out every week and, you know, getting pumped 50 points, whatever. So hopefully this move will make all the teams more competitive and, you know, which end of the day makes the competition better as well.
It's easier to have a few subs too if you've had a few the night before, just to sort of rotate those numbers.
I thought you were all supreme athletes.
Yeah, also supreme drinkers.
I mean, Super League, I think it was okay. We struggled at times. I thought the final was actually a good game.
That's fantastic. Right? The final's always going to be, every year, the final will always be a good game because you'll get a full side. You get a full complement on both sides. It's just sort of mid-season, you know, numbers wave up. It's summer, so people are going home. That's where we need to continue to get full sides on the paddock each week. And that's going to be a focus point this year.
Yep, 2019, lots of things we need to do to get Super League to be a bit better. It's not a well-oiled machine yet, I feel. Still a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I think we also, again, look at maybe introducing more women's games into that domestic league, whether it's having more women's teams. And if they do play nines, that's fine as well. But just having, even if it's just one game every other week, having those ladies play.
Do you think we've got a big enough playing pool, Jack, to move to having, you know, two 13-a-side female teams?
I think we can attract more players over the summer and over the rugby season. They would have seen what the first lot of teams did, and they'll be like, okay, then we could, yeah, move it to 13s. So that's definitely where we want to go in terms of having a women's international team. So definitely in the plans.
I still think 9s is probably the easiest thing to do. I know you traditionalists have got different views.
Again, it just depends on numbers, mate. I think it will definitely grow. The feedback last year was really good. The girls loved it. So, yeah, see how we go. We're going to have a women's game on the 9s day.
Probably. I mean, we've still got to confirm the agenda yet, but I would like to definitely have a 9s game. Yeah, but we also, 9s doesn't last very long, right? So we need to have more than one game. It's a long way to come just to put your boots on for one game. But
well, hence the reason why we incorporate it into the domestic season again.
Yeah.
You know, this time we ran it as a curtain raiser for the Battle of Origin.
Yeah.
And then we ran it as a curtain raiser for the final. So we can do something similar next year, of course, and maybe make it 13s.
Yeah.
So if we can get the numbers.
Well, let's see where we go. Lots happening, lots to do there.
Yeah. At Kings Park, Hong Kong, for the first ever Women's Northern Hemisphere versus Women's Southern Hemisphere Rugby League Nines match.
Now, I think obviously for the players, some of the highlights of the year were the internationals, in particular that victory against Japan. Just take us through that again, Jack and Ringo, players.
Jack, do you want to kick us off?
Well, it was nice to finally get our first international victory. Again, clashes with Japan have been close. We've had, what, 3 games?
Yep.
Each game, I think even Ringo said this in a few podcasts back, that it was going to be close. I think I said we were going to kill them, but all of our games have gone down to the wire, and that's what makes them so exciting. And obviously, we're a team of contrasting styles. They're a bit more nippy.
What
better to describe it?
We're a bit forward heavy.
We're a bit bigger and a bit more forward heavy. So, yeah, those two styles sort of complement each other somewhat. And again, just a great clash to be a part of. Great to create some history. And then, obviously, having guys, I mean, we were in Tokyo back in June, just that whole experience of being away together, bonding before the game, and obviously bonding even more after.
Are you sure we were bonding after the game?
Jack, I seem to remember you picking up one of the players by the throat.
No,
own players.
Is that me? all part of touring. But again, a great overall experience, not just on the field, but off it.
Probably my favourite moment of the whole year in terms of Rugby League was PNG causing carnage in the afters in Japan. Just
the PNG champ.
He was a great character. Offered a lot afterwards as well. So, but no, I mean, yeah, the Japan win is, I think, just one of those moments that, well, hopefully all the players, me certainly, will remember for a long time to come. And it's the sort of thing that, you know, when you're older, and you have some people to tell stories to, that's definitely going to be a story to tell. I mean, it's a huge moment for all the players, for the organisation, something to be incredibly proud of, getting being part of the first ever international victory for Hong Kong. So it was a huge moment, and yeah, as Jack said afterwards, it was quite fun as well. Although I think I was home by 10. Yeah.
What?
10 a.m.
10, genuinely by 10 p.m. I was in the bed like, oh,
that's a lie, mate.
I hate myself. I feel terrible. Yeah, there you go.
But no, they're always good games to watch too. They're always high try scoring affairs. So loads of tries, loads of points, loads of big hits. They're always good games to watch, these games, and they're always close. So mate, who knows what the next Japan game will bring.
Well, who knows? It should be in 2 years' time. Which I think leads us nicely to...
Will they bring a Nines team over?
No. I don't think they're organised. And they're just too spread out.
Yeah.
But we will be putting a call out to try and get more teams.
Mm.
But, obviously, we played Japan in June. We had that famous victory.
Your commentary as well. I don't know how we I forgot to mention that, but yeah, your commentary for that game probably lives...
May I add, I was not supposed to be commentating on that game.
Oh, that was fantastic, man.
It's an absolute disgrace. It's a disgrace.
Moving on. We went to Sydney for the Emerging Nations World Cup. Went there in good spirits after a victory against Japan. We thought we'd be playing genuine teams from some of those countries. Didn't quite work out that way, given that most of them fielded Australian teams. But great experience, great time. And I think for me, that game against Poland was, we really competed. That first half, we stood tall and were counted, and they were clearly one of the best teams in the whole tournament. And quite frankly, we probably shouldn't have been playing them.
Yeah, well, I mean, they went on to win the second tier competition, right? The trophy, whatever it was. I mean, the beating the Philippines in the final, that's, it just showed the quality. And when you see the names on the team sheet, some of the players and the heritage that they have, I mean, it was, in hindsight, for sure, that first half, in particular when we had a full complement of players on the field, we definitely stood tall. And we probably gave them a fair good whacking, I reckon. I don't, certainly in the group stage, I don't reckon they would have found another team that were probably quite as physical as we were in defence.
So it was definitely physical. I think the only difference there was they are very seasoned. They were all very seasoned players, yeah, right? Yeah. So they could take the hits, but we're giving it to them.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that showed the potential we've got. I think after that game, and we'll talk about Japan again in a moment, but we really saw what we could do. With more league experience and with, you know, obviously a wider pool of players to choose from. But we don't have that pool, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're only a few years old, so that playing pool is not as strong as we would like it at the moment. But, I mean, to compete against a team that had played rugby league since they were about 5 years old.
To a very high level as
right?
well.
I mean, we had, you know, Harry, I can't pronounce his second name.
Sejka.
You know, he's played for Bradford Bulls, he's played for Penrith. You know, he's played to a bloody high level. And here we are, you know, we've, I don't know, Alvin Chan or someone again, against him. You know what I mean? It's just a big difference, right? And those guys were seasoned.
Yeah. Oh, they come off the back of it, just finished their comp as well, so they're fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, I think, I guess the frustrating part was that we never put together a full 80-minute performance. I mean, we had just spells where we were doing really well, whether it's defence or attack, whatever it was. We were competing really well. And as you said, we showed glimpses of what we could do. So I guess, you know, moving forward for us, it's building strength and depth, number one. And number two, learning to play league at that level, that in a way that we can kind of sustain across the 80 minutes as opposed to just, you know, flashes.
Yeah. Now, let's go to that Japan game. No disrespect to the Solomon Islands, but it just wasn't quite as exciting as that Japan game.
War of attrition.
Yes, wasn't it?
Jonesy, I mean, you were leading the bench and giving directions. What was it for you?
For me, I mean, again, it was, again, a high-scoring game, so it's a pretty tired legs running from each try line. But it was just difficult, you know, blokes going down. You go into a side and you say, you know, you've got two or three forwards on the bench, we're going to rotate them, we're going to do this, then you've got a backup utility. Go out there and you get four blokes hurt in the first 20 minutes and you're looking at the bench and, you know, you're trying to make centres out of second rowers and, you know, just the injury rate. So, yes, difficult. You're trying to make decisions on the fly and get blokes in there. You know, who'd we have come off in the first half? We had Lee do his delt, Toby did his bicep, continued to play the whole game. Ben Ryan did his bicep, he was out for the
Max
next game.
Max Zan got cramp, right?
Yeah.
Hamstring.
Johnny Howarth, he did his ribs. I mean, you know.
Six guys right there.
Six, yeah. So, you know, but we just smashed them too, straight out of the blocks. And then, yeah, like Jack said, war of attrition, we just started running out of players. And you got to give it to Japan, they just rally.
They were fantastic,
they just
right? They kept it, I think at one point we were 20 points ahead.
Yeah, we were.
And the way they fought back, and I think, as chairman, you look at that and you look at the way they responded to that victory and the way they picked up Amane Konichi. What a send-off. I mean, he's a rugby league stalwart. He's, you know, he should be inducted. And we mentioned this, I think, in probably podcast number two or something. You know, he should be inducted in the Rugby League Hall of Fame somewhere. You know, these people who champion rugby league outside of the Heartlands, probably just don't get enough recognition. And what you saw from that, it was almost as if he'd won the whole competition, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think probably for both of us, that was the big one, given the regional rivalry and the recent history that we've had. A couple of close games, so yeah, I think both of us kind of probably looked at that game and a draw came out thinking, this is the one. If we win anyone, this has got to be the one. So yeah, unfortunately, we fell on the wrong side of the final score, but yeah, they're 13, Shibasaki, and their hooker, Fushigi.
Oh, their hooker was good.
The hooker in the 13, the 13, they just kind of ran as ragged a bit in the second half and we were running out of legs.
And we had some, I don't know where it was from, what, Fiji or guy?
The lock.
Yeah.
Torres Strait. Is he? He plays in Brisbane competition, I'm sure.
He was handy.
Yeah, good player. Good player.
Very handy. Okay, so the Emerging Nations World Cup, we didn't get a victory in the end, which was, Japan was the closest, where they won with a last second kick of the game.
Yeah.
Was that a penalty, do you think, on Toby?
I'm going to be biased, of course, but I wouldn't say so.
Jonesy?
Nah, soft.
Soft. Soft.
That was given, so that's history. So.
Yeah, that's it. Either way, it was given, so.
I remember, obviously, the last game was against the Solomon Islands. And I think their pace in just fresh legs, but
destroyed us. We were literally chucking the team together from more or less from scratch.
We flew three boys over the night before.
We flew people from the day
before. We managed to get some guys in who we'd never even seen before. Yeah. Brendan, for example.
Yeah.
Blaze.
Blaze. Woody.
Kome. At the end of the day, it was one of those where it's kind of a bit difficult because you're just chucking players together. And at that level, you're always going to get found out, I guess.
But I mean, yeah, look, taking positives out of a game like that, blokes being so keen to fly over. I mean, Ari flew over twice, right? Came over the first two games, went back, go back to work, and then he gets the opportunity to come back over without hesitation, jumps on a plane, flies 9 hours, puts on the boots, runs on.
Player of the day, I reckon.
Yeah.
It was. He got man of the match for us. Yes.
Man of the match. Cut the beers after, then back on the plane, back to Hong Kong. I mean, that's fantastic, right? That's what this was all about. We probably didn't have high hopes of coming in and smashing everyone and taking the trophies, but, getting guys to represent their country that, it means that much to them. I mean, that's fantastic.
And they love it now as well.
Yeah.
Like Ari and Kome,
put his hand up, put a side together for the domestic team. That's really cool.
It just shows that having the international element to Hong Kong Rugby League is helping recruit players. Yeah. There was certainly some debate within the board about whether we should be investing in those types of things, but we need to. Right? It gets publicity, it gets people interested, and then they start championing Rugby League and we all move on from there.
Exactly.
I'm an odds person, a probability guy. Hong Kong! I thought this was big odds against 15 minutes ago. Hong Kong! I would be starting to say that Hong Kong would be running into favourite now.
Yes, you'd have to think so.
Now, head coach Jason Fairley has gone back to Australia. Not only was he head coach, he's also one of the founding directors. He's been to almost every rugby league event we've ever done in Hong Kong. I think he's going to be missed. Your thoughts on working with him?
He was a super coach, super referee. Just his experience and knowledge of the game, but probably the biggest thing for me was, as a player coach, he backed it up on the field.
Yeah.
And, especially that game against Poland. He was flying and smashing those guys. So we'll miss him, definitely miss him, but I guess we have enough of an Aussie quota here. Maybe fill the boots for a little bit, and then we can all sort of pitch it and
never have
out
enough Aussies.
Debatable.
It's not debatable. Definitely can have too many Aussies.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not only coaching, as you said, family member, five games, five international caps, played all games. So, I mean, yeah, that sort of effort and commitment.
Maybe four.
But anyways, that sort of effort and commitment, it's very hard to fill. Not everyone's going to do it. And he's just the value and experience that he's added has just been incredible. And not just to the team, but to the whole organisation over, since the very start. So
do you think he'll work up the ranks and take over Mal's spot, head coach for Australia?
No.
Yeah, it's
a... Okay. If you listen, Jason.
maybe his brother might.
Yeah.
No, Jason's going to be sorely missed. And you know, obviously within my role, just a lot of the things which goes under the radar.
Volunteering stuff, right? Like turning up to ref and yeah, you know, that sort of stuff.
He's always first to put his hand in his pocket for, you know, three tickets for the lucky draw or yeah, whatever. And you know, he's always there. And he's always, you know, he turns up to watch rugby league at Woolloola or wherever it is. He always turns up. He lives miles away, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So he definitely will be missing. Hopefully, you know, we'll get some people on board who will not replace him. But, you know, it's a transient city, is Hong Kong.
Yeah.
People come, people go, and hopefully we'll get some more good people in. Does raise questions about who will be the next head coach.
A couple of candidates in here.
I've got my thoughts. And being a dictator, I will probably choose who I want. I'll speak to Tim and Dan. get their opinions. Yep. We actually have got a guy who's very interested and keen to do it. He's based in I think he's in Xiamen, and he wants to come over. He's got loads of coaching experience and accredited, but I don't know. There's some. I think he could come and do some guest coaching, but I don't know. I'd prefer someone who lives in Hong Kong.
Promote from within.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. I think, if whoever does take the head coach role, I think having guest coaches or assistant coaches just takes the pressure off big time.
Yeah. They can help, right?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't need to take the lead role, but, I mean, any professionalism he can bring to it as well, that all sort of adds, you know, being a coach and, you know, thinking up, you know, moves and where you need to work on and, you know, drills, the training. If someone can bring a few along and then, you know, everyone just works together, it just takes a load off the head coach.
We very much coached as a team this season. You know, Jason, obviously, there at the top, but yourself, Jonesy, and then the Axe.
Yeah, the Axe. Where is the Axe? He's a bit late. He's like 42 minutes late. He's not even here.
Literally trees on the way that he had to take down.
Because he's still in Thailand. He doesn't live in his youth.
Yeah, I think the coaching setup, we have to make changes because Jason's left, but I think it's important to keep going. We've just been distracted here by the potential of Tahir, who is three, drinking beer.
Moondog.
Moondog.
Old mate, pale ale.
Which we've just voted as the number one Australian beer.
Oh, it's fantastic. Love it.
Tell you what you reckon. He seems to like it.
Good. Should help him sleep.
He's going back for it,
isn't it? And this is why we like rugby league. It's you know, it's out there. I'm not often stuck for words, but I tell you, I'm just jealous. Actually, I'd love to give Swinton some beer.
Yeah.
But he's been taught by mummy that it's not a good thing.
Yeah,
that's, you know, I offer him beer, you know, and he goes, "No."
I drank loads as a kid. I'm fine.
That's a matter of opinion, to be fair.
That one is up for debate.
Right, so Jason's leaving, been an absolute asset to Hong Kong rugby league. Some changes afoot in 2019. Now, we've had 16 podcasts. We've had a lot of good moments this year. Now, have we got a favourite local leaguer? You know, every month or every couple of weeks we interviewed a local leaguer. Any favourite moments looking back?
Mikey Tsang for me. I've roomed with him in Australia, but quite genuinely, he's got a very incredible backstory, and the way what league means to him and how it's helped him in his life. He's not had the easiest of upbringings, and league was really a way out for him. So. I think that was probably my favourite one.
I think you did well to understand a single word he said.
I didn't understand what he was saying, but yeah, he very
good. I'm very a kid, we don't understand what you're saying, so.
I got one word out of 10. Normally that
Jack, you interviewed, I think, almost every local league.
Jack Muir, actually, I have to say, was probably my favourite, just because I didn't realise he was a Kiwi himself. I was wondering if he was an Aussie. But I think Jack shared a lot of good stuff with us, and
He messaged me afterwards to say he got a lot of flack in that podcast.
Did he?
I think we were slagging him.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, fair enough. No, well deserved.
Definitely my favourite. Good man.
Jack's always good value. You know, whether you agree with him or not, you know, he creates an environment where you've got to have an opinion.
Yeah.
Jones, what do you think about Jack Muir?
Oh, he definitely has an opinion on everything.
Strong opinion.
I mean, he's quite knowledgeable.
Oh, he knows his stuff. Just go to the pub with him and watch a game.
Oh, no, don't go to a pub.
Everyone will know you there anyway.
Take a mouth guard.
Jack, we do love you. I think one of my most favourite ones had to be Corby.
Oh,
I mean,
wow. Yeah, lunatic. He tried to take on the spicy wings challenge. He actually got second place.
But what a character. He basically moved to Hong Kong for like a few months. And
staying on backpackers, wasn't
he? I don't know where he was staying. Where was he staying?
He'd pretty broken by the time he left.
Yeah.
But he's staying in my choice, I'm a fool.
Yeah, no.
Well, you know, probably wouldn't he. You know, rugby league here is a fairly high level.
It is, but domestic comp is pretty high.
Yeah, you can't just think you come over here and just walk straight on and just start smashing blokes either. Like, you know, especially those Pacific Toa boys and some of the games we have here. I think, you know, anyone that, you know, thinks they're going to come here and just run through everybody's going to get a bit of a shock.
Yeah, I think that's worth noting, actually. Because people do have a lot of rugby union experience, predominantly, people are used to the collision, they're used to contact, they know how to pass. And, you know, we do have some people turning up thinking, oh, rugby league's new, I can easily come in here. I remember coaching someone, and he came up with his Wigan top and it was all ready. And I'm thinking, all right, this is great. Yeah. We've got a guy from Wigan over here. Yeah. He must know how to play. So I says, oh, mate, come over here. And he looked a bit sheepish. I said, all right, you just run at me. We're going to demonstrate tackling. Kind of ran at me. And I,
you give it to him, Nev, do you?
Well, no, I just kind of...
Put him on his ass.
He's on his ass. I'm going, oh, dear. I don't think he's played. So then we got the bags out. And I'm going, mate, I'm thinking, I'm not sure this guy really knows how to play.
This is very embarrassing. Now.
This is a bag. It's stationary. It's not moving. So it's running, hit the bag. He nearly missed the bag.
I didn't realise that Jack Muir played for Wigan.
So, yeah, we do get a lot of people who turn up who just think, oh, this will be great. You know, I can do this. But, yeah, moving on then. So, and we also had quite a lot of hosts. We had tag hosts. We had other people hosting.
Yeah.
Any favourite moments from that?
This one to my right here. You're all right, aren't you, Jonesy?
I think
my favourite podcasts are all the ones that I'm on.
more listens and more views when Jonesy was on. It's great having the tag.
Adrian.
Adrian Garvey was good.
Yeah, Adrian was good.
Rocky was awesome.
I enjoyed that. We did a podcast after the Japan game. Jack and the Axe were just sitting in some massage chairs.
At the airport, right?
At the airport, sitting in the massage chairs. That was probably my favourite.
Nearly missed a fight.
Not because of Jason, but just because it was a very relaxing environment.
Well, and you're on the back of a victory.
Yeah, incredibly hungover.
But it was a very difficult morning.
Yeah, it was. It's a pretty quiet morning, I would say.
Right, so we're 30 minutes into the podcast. We're approaching the end, I think. Anything we want to discuss before we sign off for the year?
It's a big thanks to everyone who's been involved in any way, shape or form for this year. As you said, I mean, it's been a huge year, loads going on, loads of internationals, domestic, tag, and that doesn't just happen out of thin air. You know, people put effort and time and resource, anything from, you know, making a donation to volunteering at any event, right through to big man over here with his flowery shirt, putting in more hours than I reckon is humanly possible, especially when you're got a pretty high position in a corporate law firm as well. So yeah, big thanks to Nev.
Thank you. Bit of navel gazing there, but
what does that mean?
I don't know. I think this year has been great. It's put a lot of pressure on people, but we've done it. You know, we've got through the other side, so to speak, and
some big hurdles there that we got over and achieved this year. It was good.
Yeah, and 2019 is going to be one of consolidation. We need to review where we are.
Residence tour.
Matt Jones, you have put your hand up for the next residence.
Where are some possible locations?
Well, first choice was I wanted to go to South America, given there were so many South American sides in the Emerging Nations World Cup and up and coming, but logistically it's pretty much next to impossible. It's just too expensive. So it's down to the old favourites, either Manila or Thailand. Or I was thinking and considering Siem Reap in Cambodia or Phnom Penh.
Do you have rugby league?
Yeah, they've got rugby league over there. They've got more followers than Hong Kong rugby league on Facebook. Whether they've got players over there, I don't know, because the residents tour can tend to draw out a pretty decent side. So I've just got to discuss with those boys over there, see what they've got.
Is it run by Pete Thompson?
I don't know, mate.
Ultimately, I think. Need to check.
We'll be looking at around August next year. It'll be after the league season finishes. But yeah, there was so many guys keen for it last year, but it was just going to compete with obviously us going down to Australia. But good times ahead. Stay tuned.
Nice little grin on your face as you said that.
Oh, everyone loves residents.
Do they have any boys in Cambodia?
I don't know.
Do they have dim sum in Cambodia? John, you might starve.
No, I've been there before. There's loads of food. Seafood, cooking on the beach, barbecues.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Beef curtains.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, guys, happy Christmas. Happy New Year. Thank you for all your efforts. We'll be back. See you next year.
See you, mate.
See ya.
Come on, man. That's disgraceful. That's disgraceful. He took him by his f***ing head. That's ridiculous.